Hey guys, it's Leah B from Prestige Veteran Medical Consulting. I'm a U.S. Army veteran, physician assistant, and former compensation and pension examiner. Today, I wanted to come on and do a video about what to expect at a lumbar spine or low back pain CMP exam for VA disability. So CMP exam is short for compensation and pension examination. So I've done several videos related to what to expect at a CMP exam and gotten a lot of really great feedback. So I hope this one is also helpful for some of you that may be prepping for a low back pain CMP. So the first thing that's going to happen is after you have filed your claim for your low back condition, you're going to receive a packet in the mail that's going to tell you where to go, who the doctor is that's going to be examining you, and what time, the location, date, all that kind of stuff. So you can go online and download this form that I'm about to go over with you guys called a disability benefit questionnaire. So when you get to your examination, the doctor is going to have whatever medical records have been supplied to them by the VA. And they're going to go through this questionnaire that has questions on it. It's got examination components that they're going to fill out based on that exam they do with you. And then that's going to be sent back to the VA so that the rater or the adjudicator can review it and decide what you're rating, where you're going to fit into with ratings, if it's service connected and things like that. So the DBQ or the disability benefit questionnaire is pretty straightforward. You can also actually have your own treating provider fill this out for you if you'd like to submit as well, but you can go over to va.gov. So I'm going to pull up a little screen share so you guys can see this really quick. Hang on one second. See, entire screen. Here we go. Okay, so this is va.gov. So I just Googled va.gov DBQ, and you can see that this is just an information page, and it's got all the different hyperlinked disability benefits questionnaires on here. Okay, every, category, gastrointestinal, genitourinary, gynecologic, infectious disease, musculoskeletal. So down here in the musculoskeletal, I went ahead and clicked on this back DBQ right here. So let me open that up. So here's a copy of it. You can see that it came from benefits.va.gov. I'm going to see if I can make this a little larger for you guys. Okay, here we go. Oh, that might be a little too large. Let me back it down just a hair. Okay. So you can go over this DBQ, either watch this video again, or you can download it yourself and take a look at it off of va.gov where I just showed you guys. So the first part of this is just going to be some administrative data. So your name, your social security number, the date of exam. So are you completing this DBQ at the request of the veteran or other? Are you a VA healthcare provider? Yes or no? Was the veteran examined in person? Yes or no? So the evidence reviewed. So no records were reviewed or which records were reviewed. So if it was your claims file or whatever, outside records you may bring in, list the claim condition that pertains to this questionnaire. So if it's low back pain, degenerative disc disease, arthritis, facet arthropathy, a million things. We're going to go over some of them. So here's another block where they can check which conditions you might be suffering from. Now, you may only have one of these conditions. You may have two or three of these conditions. You may have none of these up here, and they have to hand write in what the condition is. Or not handwrite, type in what the condition is. They're going to put an ICD code. That's not really something you need to worry about. That's just a code that corresponds with what this diagnosis is. And then they're going to put the date of diagnosis. So what is the date demonstrated in your medical records that that condition was diagnosed? Perhaps they're diagnosing it right then and there at the CMP exam, and then they can put that date, right? So if there are additional diagnoses pertaining to the lumbar spine conditions, list using the above format. All right. So medical history. So describe the history. So this is where they're going to ask you to talk about, the history of the back condition. I injured it during a airborne operation in 1995. I was ruck marching all the time. Maybe your back pain is secondary to another condition. Maybe it's related to some antalgic gait that you have from your knees that are service connected. So veterans started exhibiting back pain after years of knee pain after he had a knee replacement, or whatever the history is. So does the veteran report flare-ups of the condition, yes or no? And then they're supposed to, you're supposed to describe that, and they're supposed to type all that in. The frequency, duration, characteristics, precipitating and alleviating factors. Do you have functional loss or functional impairment of the joint or extremity being evaluated? Yes or no? So this is where they're going to get into the physical exam portion. So that was more history. So now we're going to talk about the physical exam portion, and it's going to be range of motion. So I've got a really neat video on goniometry, or measurement of the joint, that goes a little bit more into how they do that. So you might want to check that out as well. So either all of your range of measurement is normal, it's abnormal, not indicated, or unable to test for whatever reason. And then if it's unable or not indicated, they're supposed to explain why. If it is outside of normal, but it is normal for the veteran, you know, for example, if the person is, you know, older and really just can't move because of, you know, their age, or maybe they're extremely obese or something like that, they're supposed to document any of those extra factors. Does it contribute to functional loss? If yes, please explain. So here they're going to talk about passive and active range of motion, meaning you actively moving the joint or them moving it for you. Okay, that comes into play more with extremities, because it's really hard for them to move your back for you, as opposed to like a knee. You can just lay there and they can move it, or your elbow or your wrist. So can testing be performed? And yes or no. And then the active range of motion, perform active range of motion, they're supposed to put your measurements. So flexion, extension. So I always talk about this in my goniometry video, or I did talk about this. So flexion, if you get confused, is when the joint gets smaller. And then extension is when it gets, when the angle gets larger. So for example, if I flex my finger, the angle is going to be a less degree. And if I extend it, it's going to be a higher degree, right? So flexion, extension. If you're bending over at the waist, that's going to be back flexion. And then extension is kind of bending backwards. I hope that makes sense. So left lateral flexion, obviously to the left, right is going to be to the right. Rotation, you're going to rotate at the waist. So if you had pain, they're supposed to document at which, you know, flexion, extension, or whatever was the pain. Make sure you're verbalizing that to them, because, you know, hopefully they can read your face, but if not, you know, verbalizing, hey, that hurt, that hurts when I extend, that hurts when I flex, et cetera, is going to be helpful. If there's limitation of motion, they're supposed to put that if it's due to pain, fatigability, incoordination, or other, and then document why. Then they're going to do passive range of motion, which is when they kind of sort of help you with that. So, and they're going to document, was it performed? Yes or no? And then they're going to put those same degrees there. And this is pretty much a repeat of that last section, where they're going to talk about if you had pain, if you had any limitations, and, you know, at which angle. Okay. Is there evidence of pain with weight bearing, non-weight bearing, active motion, passive motion, rest? Is there evidence of crepitus? Do you have tenderness to palpation of the soft tissue when they push around on your back? Do you have let's see. They're supposed to have you test if there's additional loss of function or range of motion after 3 repetitions of your range of motion. Repeated use over time. Is the veteran being examined immediately after repeated use over time? Yes or no? And if they are, they're supposed to discuss the factors that are going to be related to repeated use over time. And if not, they're supposed to estimate a range of motion. They're supposed to estimate what it would be after repeated use over time. Flare-ups. Are you being examined during a flare-up? Yes or no? Select factors that cause this functional loss. Again, pain, fatigability, weakness. They're supposed to do more measurement of range of motion if it's during a flare-up, or based on what your report is during your flare-up. Sorry. Guarding and muscle spasms. Do you have localized tenderness, guarding, or muscle spasms of the spine? And they're supposed to discuss that. I know this is a long one, guys. We're getting through it, though. Guarding, is it resulting in abnormal gait or abnormal spine contour? Additional factors contributing to disability. It interferes with you sitting, disturbs you with walking, you've got swelling, deformity, atrophy of disuse, instability. Muscle strength testing. So they're going to do some muscle strength testing of hip flexion, knee extension, ankle plantar flexion. And I don't want to get into this, but 0 through 5, 5 out of 5 is normal strength. 0 is like you have no muscle movement at all. And they're supposed to document all those on your extremities. So do you have muscle atrophy? Reflexes, they're going to test your reflexes. I'm sure many of you have had your reflexes tested. They might like pop you on your knee with a little hammer, not like a real hammer, a reflex hammer. They're going to do light touch testing. So sometimes they might use a little pinprick to test your skin to make sure you have sensory testing in these different areas, your thigh, knee, ankle. These all correspond to different nerve distributions that can be impacted by a back issue. Straight leg test. This is a test that they do to see if there's some radiculopathy or nerve dysfunction. And then there's a section here on radiculopathy. I might do a separate video for this, but the radiculopathy DBQ is on this DBQ as well, okay? Because these conditions go hand in hand. Lower extremity radiculopathy can be caused by the low back. So they're going to, you know, basically test if you've got radiculopathy. If you don't, it's going to be no, and then they're going to skip this section. If it's a yes, then they're going to check the left and right lower extremity and discuss whether it's mild, moderate, or severe, whether you've got constant pain, intermittent pain, paresthesias, numbness, other signs of radiculopathy, which nerve root is involved. So there are different nerve roots. And again, I'll do a different video on this. And actually, if you check out my radiculopathy video specifically, I have it's not a CMP one, but it's about radiculopathy. It goes over some of these issues of, you know, L2, L3, L4 nerve root distribution. What does that mean? Ankylosis. So this is a condition where the entire spine can be fixed in flexion or extension, and the ankylosis results in one of the following: difficulty walking because of a limited line of vision, restricted opening of the mouth, and chewing. That's for the neck. You can kind of read over some of that, but it's when a spinal segment is kind of like fixed. So is there evidence of that? Yes or no. If there is, they're supposed to discuss that. Other neurologic abnormalities. Are you having bladder problems, maybe erectile dysfunction? They're supposed to document that. Intervertebral disc syndrome. So this is a section on intervertebral disc syndrome. If you've got that, this is about bed rest. They're supposed to document how much bed rest. There's a bunch of choices here. So medical history. So this is just medical history about the intervertebral disc syndrome and medical records about that. Assistive devices. Are you in a wheelchair? Do you use braces? Do you have to use crutches, a cane, a walker? So this is an interesting section that can kind of lead into, it's on most of the orthopedic DBQs. So this is how they assess, part of what they assess for some of the special monthly compensations that come, that are outside of the regular compensation matrix for the lumbar spine. You can get additional compensation if, for example, we're talking about an ankle and your ankle would be better served to be amputated than to be on. You might receive extra compensation, okay? It doesn't really apply super a lot to the back because you can't really amputate your back or give a back prosthesis. But to the veterans, thoracolumbar spine condition is functional impairment of the extremity such that no effective function remains other than by an amputation with prosthesis. So maybe if it's, you know, you've got nerve dysfunction that's so bad that's affecting the lower extremity or upper extremity, this might apply then. So other pertinent physical findings about scars, there's usually going to be a scar section on almost every DBQ. And then if you've got a scar, maybe you had a back surgery or something, you might can get compensation for a secondary condition for the scar. Diagnostic testing. Have you had MRI, CT scan, X-rays, EMGs, things like that? They're supposed to document that. Do you have post-traumatic arthritis? Yes or no? And then functional impact. How does this impact you in the workplace? And then some extra remarks. And then they're supposed to sign it, right? And they're going to put their information. So let me get off this screen share real quick. Okay, so I hope this was helpful to you guys. I know that was kind of a long one. Please drop some comments if you have any questions. Check out that goniometry video and the radiculopathy video, as they may also be helpful. And thanks for watching. All right, see ya.